This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that is facing nonetheless great threats that we seem almost powerful to counteract. And the rise in crime everywhere, the rise in homelessness, and yes, the rise in substance abuse. Instead of counteracting it, there are politicians, political leaders, entertainment figures who actually seem to promote that rise in substance abuse, much of it fatal. The fentanyl category of opioids accounted in 2020, which is the last year we have numbers for 53,480 preventable deaths. That's a 59% increase over the total in 2019. And also, to put it another way, it's more than 1,000 deaths a week. Every week. So what do we do about it, and how do people find out more about fentanyl? One of the organizations is actually working on this issue. It's called Smart Approaches to Marijuana. The executive vice president, I'm very honored to have on the show, is Luke Niforatos. Luke, your organization is called Smart Approaches to Marijuana. How does that connect to fentanyl?
Yeah, Michael, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back on the show and an honor to be on it because I grew up listening to you, so thank you for the great work you've done over the many years.
Well, I appreciate it.
You bet. So our organization has worked on marijuana historically. Just this last week, we announced the official launch of a new organization called the Foundation for Drug Policy Solutions. And that website is gooddrugpolicy.org. And so with that organization, we are now taking on this fentanyl crisis and really more broadly the addiction crisis that's facing our country right now, because it's not just fentanyl that people are getting addicted to, so many different drugs. We're getting the wrong message out there to our communities, and we need to really fix this before it gets a lot worse, in our opinion. So, but, you know, we focus on, you know, we started with marijuana, looking at how, you know, obviously there are so many people that you ask about, you know, the studies show about 95 to 99% of people using heroin, using these drugs that are being laced with fentanyl right now, they're starting with marijuana. So clearly marijuana is on that journey to these quote unquote harder drugs. And I definitely think, you know, there certainly is a role to be played, but we need to do a lot more to educate people about fentanyl, how deadly it is and what it's doing to people right now, because it's frankly quite scary.
Okay, I know that I've told people before, I was prescribed fentanyl when I was recovering from cancer, and I didn't like it. They I had a patch that you put on, and it was just very, very powerful, and did not. It seems to me when I hear these stories, what is it about this drug that is so attractive to people, that people who are not using it as a painkiller don't get it initially at a hospital? They're now buying it on the street. It's being imported into the country, a lot of people say, through the southern border and from China. When did the particular fascination with this particular very dangerous drug begin?
Great question, Michael, and I'm glad to hear, you know, it really didn't appeal to you, and that's likely because, you know, you're leading a healthy life, you have a community of support system around you, you're making healthy life decisions, but for so many people across this country, there are so many that are living lives, you know, frankly, in poverty, in isolation, maybe they're surrounded by the wrong crowd, et cetera. We have youth growing up homeless in this country, which is just disgusting in my opinion, the levels of youth homelessness. And so when you are coming out of an environment like that, you're dealing with a lot of pain, a lot of emotion, a lot of other issues that you don't know what the healthy outlet is for that. And so you can see when someone's coming from that kind of a background why they would want to feel numb. And that's exactly what opioids do, is they give you this feeling of numbness, this escape from the pain or whatever else, and it's a temporary and very unhealthy and deadly, potentially deadly outlet for your pain, but it's something that people are using. And so what basically happened was, over the last 20 years or so, we saw, opioid companies pitching various kinds of opioids, OxyContin, obviously, we've all heard about from Purdue Pharma. And so what we started to see was, most of the people that were prescribed opioids were just like you, Michael. Most of them did not, get addicted. Most of them, used less than the prescribed amount and were done. But what happened was, a number of folks, a large minority of folks, had previous substance use disorders. So they had addiction in their background or some sort of substance use related issues in their background. And those folks did develop an addiction to these opiates. Okay. So, over the last 20 years, these pharma companies built up that market of people who were, addicted and using these opiates. And then what happened was somebody invented fentanyl. And so this was all kind of co-occurring over the last two decades. Fentanyl was invented, and it was, not only is it 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine, so it's much more potent than morphine, it's much more potent than heroin, so it gives a much bigger high to the user, but it's also cheaper. Much cheaper to obtain than really any of the other opioids. And so that's what basically sparked this crisis, is people found something that had a much bigger high. People who were addicted to heroin, for example, they found something like fentanyl, much bigger high and much cheaper. And for the dealer side, you had these dealers who were selling something that they could dilute fentanyl. Very tiny little bit of fentanyl could go a long way and make a lot more money off of it. So kind of a really disastrous dynamic, both on the drug dealer side as well as the side of those addicted to it.
I know that there's a great deal of concern on so many, many issues concerning the southern border of the United States and the fact that that border is very far from secure. Could we make a real dent in the fentanyl traffic by blocking the importation of fentanyl in any quantities?
Absolutely, we could. So what we need is a two-prong approach. We need supply reduction, which that means, enforcement along the border, enforcement on China and others that are shipping fentanyl over our borders right now, and demand reduction. So working with people in prevention, trying to get, educate folks not to use drugs, not to, trying to get people treatment if they're addicted. So we need a two-prong approach here. But yes, if we were to enforce and stop the supply, most of the supply of fentanyl that we're getting that these folks who are addicted are using is coming from China or Mexico. So we have a huge problem. Biden hasn't really been willing to step up to China and address the big elephant in the room there. Certainly Mexico continues to ship stuff over our border with relative ease. And until we do something about it, there's going to be plenty of fentanyl around our country. And here's the problem. You had these pharma companies create the appetite for this level of drug, this kind of high, with their opiates. Now that we've kind of discovered what the pharma industry did, and Purdue Pharma's in bankruptcy, the opioid settlements, et cetera, now that supply is kind of dried up on the prescription side for a lot of people. So they continue to have addiction, and so now they're going for this fentanyl, which is being found on the streets. And so, we kind of created that demand by allowing these industries to do what they were doing. And so now we've got to clean it up. Now we've got to get people help.
Okay.
We need to get the drug dealers.
Luke, can you stay with us for just a bit longer? Because I want to talk about what it takes to clean it up and where we need to go. Speaking to Luke Niforatos, who is the executive vice president of a new organization to increase knowledge and responsibility regarding, well, our opioid crisis. Coming up. In 1982, E.T. and Rocky III were tops at the box office. Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll rocked its way to number 3 on the Billboard charts, and Washington State got its last cut to the state sales tax rate. This is Michael Medved for Washington Policy Center. 30 years is a long wait for a sequel. With record inflation and skyrocketing prices, we're long overdue. After more than $10.5 billion in recent revenue surpluses with no sales tax relief, it's time. Go to OverdueSince82.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Michael Medved Show. Pleasure to be talking about a very difficult subject and a very unpleasurable subject with somebody who's so well-informed and knowledgeable and has dedicated a big chunk of his life to dealing with this crisis, Luke Niforodis. And Luke, if you just look at the numbers, and 53,000 people dead in 1 year from fentanyl alone, that's more than twice as many people as were killed in all homicides that year of 2020. So we're talking about a drug which doesn't have a will of its own. It killing more people than all the murderers put together, and a lot more people. And why has this been spreading so dramatically? There's a piece in the Washington Post today about parents getting stoned and influencing their kids, little kids, who see their baby boom or millennial parents smoking weed. Do you think that's a genuine contributing factor to all of this?
Absolutely, I do. And that Washington Post piece was absolutely a travesty of epic proportions for families and kids across this country. Because, you know, it doesn't matter if you're stoned or drunk or whatever else it is. You know, and I have two little girls. I have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old, so I'm speaking from firsthand experience here. No parent should be at all inebriated when they're parenting. And this, that piece in the Washington Post basically glamorized parents getting stoned while parenting and said that basically that needed to be normalized. And I think that is emblematic of the greater problem we have in this country, which is we have a culture right now that is being driven by profit interests. These, you know, people who want to make money off of dealing drugs, whether it's state legal marijuana or any other psychedelics now they're trying to legalize. People who want to make money off of selling drugs are saying, it's no big deal to use drugs. It's no big deal to get high and tune out. That's the last message we need for our society. Last message our kids need to be getting is parents getting high and in the room with them. Last message our, you know, workplace needs is for folks to be getting high, you know, knowing that's going to decrease their productivity and their life potential, you know, as it relates to the economy. So many reasons why that piece was bad and why this culture is bad. And what I'll tell you is, you know, you look at what's happening with fentanyl, you know, 77% of teen overdoses last year, that's our youth, they died from the fentanyl. And so what we have is, you know, we have profit interests on one side that want to make a buck off, you know, selling drugs, you know, getting them legalized and sold. And then you have on the other side, you have the cartels who, and drug dealers who are, you know, doing what's, you know, it's this rainbow fentanyl we're hearing about, which, you know, multicolored fentanyl tablets, clearly appealing to our kids. Drug dealers finding other ways to formulate fentanyl and getting it to our youth. They're absolutely targeting our youth. And what we're hearing from some folks, you know, out there is, it basically is a bunch of drug dealer apologists, Michael, where they're literally trying to say, drug dealers aren't trying to kill anybody. Well, you know, people are dying from what these drug dealers are selling, and they're absolutely targeting our youth. So the big message we need out there is that it is not safe to use drugs ever. It is much more dangerous now to use drugs than it's ever been because you don't know if fentanyl is going to be in it. You don't know what could be contained in those drugs.
Yeah, that's one of the problems that I know you've written about and warned about is that fentanyl isn't always labeled as fentanyl. It doesn't come along with a warning label like cigarettes do. It's actually put into other drug cocktails or compounds that people can sell with a very devastating impact.
That's right. And what I'll say is, you know, there are some people who look at that dynamic and they say, well, you know, what we need is fentanyl test strips to, you know, test the these products and see if they have fentanyl, you know, or maybe some way of making sure people know what's in it. But that's not going to solve the problem because, A, you know, by sending that message, you're saying basically, oh, well, you know, you're going to use anyway. And B, you know, as I talked about in the previous segment, a number, if not possibly most, of the people using fentanyl right now, they're seeking out fentanyl. It's got a much better high, it's more potent, and as I mentioned, it's cheaper than other opioids. So we have people who are addicted to opioids who are seeking out the high that fentanyl gives. They're seeking out fentanyl right now. So, just testing it is not going to solve the problem. That's why we need a two-pronged approach where we go and enforce on the border, we go and enforce with what's coming over from China. We need to take out these cartels. We need to arrest these drug dealers. I was just reading the DEA, the new DEA in San Francisco is going to be charging drug dealers as if they're murderers, and they should be. So we need to get serious on the dealers, but then we also need to get serious about providing access to treatment, access to care and addiction services for people who are dealing with addiction to this drug. If you are addicted to fentanyl, you are in the midst of one of the most dangerous diseases you could, you know, possibly fall into, and we've got to intervene and help you, get sober and away from that drug as soon as possible. So those are the two ways we need to approach this crisis right now.
What about, Mexico, which is where many of the drugs come through, China, where many of them are produced? Do Mexico and China have problems with the population using fentanyl?
That is an excellent question. I can't speak as much to Mexico, but what I can tell you about China is... zero tolerance when it comes to drugs. They do not tolerate it in their population at all. And, obviously China's not a country we seek to emulate really in any way, but I will tell you that, they're now one of the growing world superpowers and their people are, being shipped out to do labor and do things that American workers used to be doing. And that's what, Trump was trying to kind of reverse that trend. So I will tell you, I think, they have a stronger view of the damages that drugs can do to society because they remember when Britain shipped, opium over into China and it started the opium wars and the Chinese were, really destroyed by the spread of opium and addiction across their country. They're not going back to that. And so right now we're experiencing a period of very liberal attitudes towards drug use in America, but we need to learn that lesson historically of what expansion and normalization of drug use does to a society and to a country. We just can't allow this to continue to propagate.
What about to an individual? How many people, we all hear about the deaths. There are other costs as well, very quickly.
Yeah, so you were asking about the harms to individuals?
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously a very tiny little bit of fentanyl can kill you when you are, it is highly addictive, so doesn't take long to get addicted to fentanyl and these other opioids. And once you are addicted, it is nearly impossible to break that addiction on your own. There are some who can, but most people are going to need help. And so we need to, not shame people that come forward and say they're dealing with addiction, to these hard drugs. We need to get them help, get them access to treatment right away, because that could be the last dose they take.
Okay, we will post some of the material from your organization, formerly known as Smart Approaches to Marijuana. Luke Nivarotis, and appreciate your perspective. When we come back, perspective on politics and hurricanes coming up.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday raised its benchmark interest rate to the highest level in 15 years, indicating the fight against inflation is not over. Despite some promising signs lately, keeping with expectations, the rate-setting Federal Open Market Committee voted to boost the overnight borrowing rate 0.5 percentage point, taking it to a targeted rate between 4.25% and 4.5%. Stocks have fallen. Investors fear a recession is looming. The retail sales report disappointed as well. The Dow has been down by more than 900 points at times today. The clock is ticking for you to get your holiday packages into the U.S. mail.
The U.S. Postal Service says this Saturday, the 17th, is the latest you can send packages by its cheapest service, Retail Ground, and be assured they'll arrive by Christmas. I'm Tim Berg.
And I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Portions of the Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there have been headlines, and abundant headlines recently, all about the progress in artificial intelligence, with reports that it is more and more moving toward actual consciousness. And along with that, the artificial intelligence, the robots that they're building now, are held to be more dangerous. I mean, you've all seen movies about them by now. There's a Google engineer, he's a former Google engineer, who recently claimed that the tech giant's Lambda project, that's the language model for dialogue applications, that the bot that they had built for that project had become fully sentient and can feel emotions. How do they know? Do they ask the bot, what are you feeling? The best voice on all of this who can put this in perspective and with a little bit of integrity and balance is Dr. Robert Marks, who is a pioneer in the field of computing intelligence. He's distinguished professor of electrical and computer engineering at Baylor University, and he serves as the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence and hosting the center's Mind Matters podcast. Dr. Marks, it is great to speak to you again.
Thank you, Michael. It's good to talk to you.
Okay. First of all, with his claim about the fact that Google has built this language model for dialogue applications that can supposedly feel emotions, how do they know what the machine is feeling?
They don't. They don't. And one of the things that needs to be done in artificial intelligence is to examine things up closely. If you look at an artificial flower bouquet from afar, it looks real. But the only way that you know that it is artificial or real is to go up and examine it closely. And I think that a lot of people are examining things from far away with the appearance of actually being sentient or whatever. But if you look at it a little bit closer, you find out, indeed, that isn't the case. Things begin to fall apart. As far as the computer program Lambda, that was the computer program that Google built that was examined by a Google engineer, and the Google engineer said, wow, this is sentient, this is alive. It's frankly an observation of a bouquet across the room. It is just the image that is portrayed of something which is real. In fact, the true thing that is going on in the artificial intelligence isn't that exciting. And in fact, if you drill down, one of the things about these news announcements is that you don't get as much of the negative to the news announcement as you do to the original announcement. The announcement is made, everybody goes, wow, it's distributed in the media. But then the backlash comes in, and that's not reported too much. For example, the Washington Post story on this said that they had intercepted a number of emails from Lamad and his colleague, and the Washington Post said, quote, this document was edited with readability and narrative coherence in mind. So therefore, a lot of the quotes were cherry-picked. This is very common in artificial intelligence. They cherry-pick the responses and sometimes edit them. The other thing that they don't tell you is that this AI was trained to be and to act exactly like it was. They trained this thing with so-called crowd workers, and they had 6,400 dialogues with 121,000 different interchanges with the artificial intelligence. The crowd workers who interacted with this were explicitly informed to reply in a safe, sensible, specific, interesting, grounded, and informative manner. That's a quote. And that's exactly what the chatbot did. It responded in a safe, sensible, specific, interesting, grounded, and informative manner. So we see that the AI did exactly as it was trained to do. An AI has no understanding of what it can do. It can add the numbers 3 and 14, but it doesn't understand what the numbers 3 and 14 are. So therefore, yeah, the whole thing is kind of blown out of proportion, but it sure makes good media.
Well, and when you're talking about something like this, there's so many radical reformers over recent history, 20th and 21st century history. Like I'm thinking of some of the communist visionaries who thought they were going to create a new man. They were going to basically program people for better behavior and better values and to be unselfish servants of the state. And it didn't work out that well for them. But in terms of applying that dream to machines, isn't there more chance that they could actually program these machines to be nicer, more moral, more considerate of others than we are as humans?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, the machine will respond exactly as it is trained, and you know, we go back in this attempt to perfect man. Shoot, it goes back to the Nazis. It goes back to the communists. Ray Kurzweil, who wrote a very popular book called The Singularity Is Near, purports that artificial intelligence is going to take over the process of evolution, that man has evolved to the point where he can evolve no more. So we have to start this or continue this evolution process using machines. And he says that the next stage of evolution is going to be through man inventing these machines. And, of course, that's all.
So it wouldn't be natural selection. It would be human selection.
Well, it would be human selection, but then there's the myth that the artificial intelligence will write better artificial intelligence, which will write better artificial intelligence, and eventually come to something called artificial general intelligence, where it duplicates whatever a human can do. And then it's going to go on and become a super intelligence. But all of that presupposes that computer programs can be creative, and there's growing evidence, in fact, I think irrefutable evidence, that computer programs, including artificial intelligence, have the inability of being creative. So to write a better program that is beyond the intent of the original programmer is something that requires an intelligence, and that isn't going to happen internal to the artificial intelligence. It will take an external programmer to do that.
It's fascinating. I just saw your wonderful latest installment of Science Uprising. This is Science Uprising, Episode 10, and it's entitled Artificial Intelligence, Will Machines Take Over? And one of the questions that you pose in that, and by the way, people can see it for free, just it's really worth seeing. It's 10 minutes of extremely important provocation. But one of the things you ask about that is that people are looking for computers, for machines to be able to show love, compassion, empathy, and creativity. And you have a powerful argument about why no machine is ever going to be creative. Go ahead.
Well, okay, let's take creativity. Back in the 1930s, Alan Turing, who was mostly famous for the
code breaking,
cutting down the Enigma, yeah, for the code breaking. He was also the father of computer science, and the guy was a mathematical genius. And he was able to prove that there were certain problems that were non-computable. In other words, you were not able to compute these problems on a machine. And it wasn't conjecture, it was a mathematical proof. Now, it appears that humans also have these non-computable aspects. And if AI is going to duplicate them, these aspects, these characteristics of human beings have to be computable. And that simply is not going to happen. And the things you mentioned, like love and compassion, and especially creativity, are things which are not computable, and therefore are beyond the capability of computers. And by the way, non-computable means non-computable. So if it's non-computable today, it's going to be non-computable in the super-duper computers of tomorrow.
Okay, we will get to those super-duper computers of tomorrow. Could they turn into cannibals? That, of course, has been suggested. And what about the scandal from the world of chess? Are computers responsible or the solution? We'll get to it coming up on the MedVet Show. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved Show, it is always enlightening and stimulating to speak to Professor Robert J. Marks, who is a pioneer in the field of computing intelligence. He's Distinguished Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Baylor University. He also works with my friends at the Discovery Institute, where he is the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence, and he hosts the center's Mind Matters podcast. I was mentioning before, and you can go to our website, to michaelmedved.com, and log to the latest installment of the Science Uprising series. It is more information and stimulation and logic, and actually beautifully produced little movie, basically that leads you to believe that that whoever created us was better than we are, because we can't create anything that equals the powers of the human brain. And I mentioned Professor Marks that I had recently been fascinated by this idea of cheating in the world of international chess. Have you followed this story at all?
I have not. I'm aware of Kasparov being beat by AI, but I haven't followed that story, no.
Okay, well, here's the story. There's a 19-year-old chess whiz whose name is Hans Niemann. 19 years old, and he beat Magnus Carlsen, who is the international chess champion. But he beat him because Carlsen walked away from a game. Now, why did Carlsen walk away from a game? Because he had reason to believe that his opponent was cheating at chess. Now, I had no idea. How do you cheat at chess?
I think you cheat at chess the way that some people cheat at casinos. I do know that at casinos, for example, that you can cheat at card counting. You have these very crude methods of card counting, but you can also have more sophisticated computer card counting sort of algorithms. And the big question is, how do you communicate with them? Do you put little vibrators in your shoes?
No. You're given bathroom breaks. And at least what they are saying now, and this has not been proven yet, it's not definitive, is that what Niemann was doing was going to the bathroom, and he had a little hand device, and he could access, put in the moves that his opponent made, and then the machine would tell him, okay, this is what he's going to do next, with fair accuracy. In other words, they have gotten so good at the machines responding to chess moves that it's considered a huge advantage if someone can go to the bathroom and get this information while he's sitting there in the stall.
Oh, exactly. And I think that I think it was almost 40 years ago when IBM Deep Blue beat Garry Kasparov at chess. So we have artificial intelligence dominating in the game of chess for many, many years.
Well, that's because this is not about creativity, right? This is about what you say is the most important word for any artificial intelligence: algorithm.
Exactly. And, Michael, what they do is they play the same chess game again and again and again and again and again. And they play by the same rules. The rules don't change. And if you play 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 chess games, you're going to find out what the best strategies are for winning. And this is basically, I've oversimplified it, of course, but this is basically the approach that chess-playing programs have done. Now, if you change the rules of chess mid-game, that algorithm would totally fall apart. In fact, in the game of Go, there was an algorithm. Go, by the way, is the world's most difficult popular board game. If you change the size of the playing board, I believe it's 18 by 18, to 16 by 16, the AI will totally crash. So therefore, one of the things that is required for the chess, for the AI to win at this, is that you have access to the same game again and again and again. And there's a technique in artificial intelligence called reinforcement learning that learns the best way to respond to all of these things. And that's what's happening in these chess games. And I'm sure that after 40 years, this is very publicly available.
Okay, there's something else that's publicly available. There's a piece in the Washington Post, AI in the News. It says, a flippy, sippy, and chippy will serve you now. Robots are making your fast food. There's just one catch. It's a robot. A jack-in-the-box in Chula Vista, California, debuted the fries-making robot at the end of July, just a couple of weeks ago. A flippy is trained to sink baskets of food into hot oil and remove them when perfectly golden brown. It uses artificial intelligence to sense food and transfer it when it's ready to cook or serve. This sounds perfectly fine, right? But where is the love, compassion, empathy, or creativity?
Well, there isn't. And, you know, a lot of people today are afraid whether or not AI is going to take away their jobs or not. And the answer is, can your job be described by an algorithm, a step-by-step procedure? Because that's all that computers and AI can do. These burger flipping and deep fryer sort of jobs are things which are repetitive. They can be described algorithmically, and therefore a computer program can do them. But if you have a position which requires understanding, sentience, or creativity, that job is not going to be replaced. So yes, if you have a job which is repetitive and algorithmic, that eventually is going to be replaced.
What about warfare? I mean, people, when they dream about robots, they dream about the idea of It's tough to get upset about a robot getting smashed up because they don't have feelings and they're not human and they don't have a beating heart. But would artificial intelligence be an alternative for people like Vladimir Putin rather than trying to get 300,000 new recruits?
Oh, absolutely. I think that we've seen this in the past in warfare. And one of the places that AI is going to help is in the, you know, direct defense and the direct offense, like the Hellfire missile that took out, what was the guy's name?
Soleimani.
Romanov.
Soleimani.
Yeah, a while back. And we could use these, obviously. One place that it won't replace on the battlefield, however, is in the command structure. In terms of the end-user ethics, how you use this technology, that is going to have to be left up to the generals and the commanders because they will be confronted with things that they haven't seen before. And if they're confronted with a scenario that they haven't seen before, they have to make decisions, and usually they can make them very well. AI doesn't have that capability. It can only respond to things that it has seen before. And that isn't going to happen on the battlefield.
What about, I know that there was a great deal of publicity about Japan developing with their aging society, and they have too low a birth rate, and so there are a lot of elderly people who need companionship, some of them turning to computers. How is that working out for those robots?
Well, yeah, you hear about, you know, people marrying their sex bots, for example, and unfortunately that's a sad story about the human condition. It's about people that don't know the difference between love and being horny. You can love, but that is a deep human emotion, and I think that is confused for just the companionship, for example, of a dog or a robot or something like that.
One of the things that you say in this wonderful Science Uprising episode 10 on artificial intelligence is that the core problem with artificial intelligence, in a single word, is materialism. Why
Yes.
does this have to do with the belief in materialism?
Well, if you're a materialist, you're a naturalist, which means that everything has to be described by science, by equations, by physical laws. If you have that assumption, if you're in this small silo of materialism, you have to believe that our brains are meat computers. In other words, our brains have to be described by naturalistic processes. If our brains are described by naturalistic processes, then we should be able to duplicate those naturalistic processes in artificial intelligence. So the idea of superintelligence or so-called artificial and general intelligence is built on the foundation of materialism.
And that is a foundation that has led to all kinds of human suffering, particularly in the 20th century. It's such a pleasure to speak to you, and I hope we'll speak again soon. Robert J. Marks is a pioneer in the fields of computing intelligence and professor of electrical and computer engineering at Baylor. He is also the director for Discovery Institute of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. His perspective is stimulating, entertaining, informative, and ultimately inspiring. Check it out in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
The stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.